Welcome to From Bark to Business, the podcast covering the stories of those who are inspired by their much-loved pups to start dog-related businesses. Imagine this, on a relaxing afternoon walk with your dog, you all of a sudden hear a growl and your dog bolts, chasing a kangaroo so fast he falls 40 metres off a cliff, miraculously surviving but badly injured. That's exactly what happened to Cherie Harris and her cavoodle Charlie. The kindness, support and exposure to the dog world inspired Cherie to start the fittingly named The Flying Dog & Co. Cherie runs an incredible online store, pop-up shop and even makes her own treats, and has a huge passion for good nutrition, buying Australian and connecting fellow dog businesses in the Illawarra Shoalhaven region. Here's the story of The Flying Dog & Co. Welcome, Cherie. Tell us about the inspiration behind your business.
So I started The Flying Dog & Co. Nearly 2 years ago. After my cavoodle, Charlie, we were out for a bit of a nature walk, and he was only young, miles away from anyone, and a kangaroo came out of nowhere, and he started chasing the kangaroo. So unfortunately we weren't quick enough, and he jumped through long grass and went straight off a 35 metre cliff. Very, very large fall. Very lucky that there was a plant at the very bottom, a shrub, and it broke his fall at the very bottom. So he did break his back, but he certainly flew off a cliff, and that's why the name, The Flying Dog & Co., happened. It was pretty full on. So, yeah.
That's incredible. And then how did that evolve into your business? Had you had the idea in the back of your mind?
I've always wanted to work with dogs. I'm a dog lover. I always have been. I had the idea that I wanted to do something, but I guess this just became a reality. So what actually happened was his story went viral. A lot of people found out about it. I also wanted to ensure more people found out about it, so I could ensure that people were safe at heights and around wild animals. So that was one of the reasons I made his story like very public, even though it was really like horrifying. But it was the gifts. We had the most amazing supportive people that heard about his story and wanted to send gifts to ensure that Charlie was, you know, made to feel loved. And one of the people that did send a gift was actually a supplier, a very good supplier of mine now. They sent me a beautiful collar and lead set, and I thought to myself, wow, like A, that is just so beautiful, and B, where would you buy this? And that's when I realized I wanted to A, support the small businesses. My full-time job is I run a platform where we support small businesses. We've got 20 odd businesses of makers and artisans, and I come from a market life background. So I wanted to give small businesses the opportunity to showcase what they sell in a non-commercialized environment. So I tried to support. So I don't know, we just kind of developed from there, and I get to show off beautiful stuff that small businesses make and design. And it all came from them, you know, what goes around kind of comes around, swings and roundabouts. So it's just a beautiful thing for them to do, and that's how it all established.
And what were some of the challenges in starting your business?
I think the first challenge you always have is the confidence, is whether you know, what direction when you want to do. Do you take that, the funds, you know, to invest and do the challenge? And also, just having that faith that, you know, of where do you start kind of thing. So I started small. I invested a couple of hundred dollars, and as I said, I was lucky enough to be in a platform that supports small businesses anyway. So I took some of the advice I give them and decided to give it a go myself. So, yeah.
And are you primarily online, or you've done, or pre-COVID, you've done markets?
Actually, I actually probably went the different way to most people. I actually started with a small store in the platform. So I started with a shelf about 2 meters high. That's where I started, and I couldn't keep the stuff on the shelf, which was amazing. So then I went into a bigger space. But I love markets, and I think the best way to network with your own community, yeah, was to actually get out with your locals. And I was approached to do a vegan market first up. So that's when I started. I thought, because I do vegan, I support vegan collars and vegan products. So I decided to start making some vegan treats. And that's when the treats started. And so I went down a vegan track to start with, and then went further with it. So markets, and then a little shop, and now I've got two little locations within a collective type environment. So and now, because of COVID, very much online, so the shops are closed, and we're all having to think outside the box.
That's really good. And you're doing your own treats. How satisfying is it when you create these treats that aren't full of all the fillers and stuff that we see normally in the supermarkets?
Yeah, no, it is. That inspiration came from Charlie's accident. You know, he spent 6 weeks in a cage, and it wasn't just cage rest that got him better. It was making sure he was eating correctly and rehabilitating correctly as well. So I wanted to ensure that what was going into his body was good. So that's why I started doing the clean eating, and I make all my own jerkies from scratch with no preservatives, and cookies, but the gourmet style without all the sugars, or no additives, nothing in them. It's hard because there's no rule book for it. There doesn't seem to be a lot of information out there to hand make. There's lots, but to actually hand make for a shelf life, that's been the trickiest part of things. So I still do small batches, and to ensure there's a freshness there, but I only use natural preservatives, like your herbs. And it's good to know that they're not eating all the commercialized stuff, because you don't know where it's come from, for starters. So,
and what kind of difference do you see in Charlie from feeding him such good food, and where's he at now?
He's almost made a full recovery. He is the happiest, mischievous. I swear he'd still run off that cliff all over again. He's happy, he's healthy, he's got a fulfilling life. He's amazing. He's had amazing support around him, but I think it makes a big difference to learn about, you know, turmeric in for inflammation, and to ensure that he has a balanced diet. I think it's made a big difference with him personally. Yeah.
And you get to bring him to work with you?
I try to take him to as many markets as possible. He is not dissexed, so he's a little bit of a stud. So I have to watch him, because I didn't want to put him through an operation again after everything he went through. So he's a bit of a ladies' man, so I've got to watch him. He's a bit full on. He's funny. He's very well known around the town as well. Everyone knows Charlie. So,
and just on that note, are you seeing through your business a big movement of people just giving so much more to their dogs?
Yeah, I believe so. The last few years, even, I've seen an increase in the pet industry. It's I think a lot of it is we all lead a very, very stressful life, and I think dogs give us a very fulfilling life. It's like they're so loyal, they're part of the family, and they're also so non-judgmental. So I think a lot of people gravitate towards having dogs and animals for that reason. And then obviously the pet industry itself is getting more interesting, more trendier. There's so many more designer options and accessories out there. You know, if you feel good, you look, you know, you look good, you feel good type thing. So, and we're all proud of our dogs, you know. So I think it's a stress thing. We're a very stressful, we live in a very stressful world. And I think that dogs bring a sense of calmness to it all, to us all personally.
And with these corona times, have you noticed the pets being a soothing form for a lot of people?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're getting a lot more walks as well. Seems to be a lot more out on the street. So, yeah, I think...
I think that you're selling a lot of, or that you've seen a big spike in demand for lately?
The food. My food's definitely been selling, even though I've got like a pretty big range on my website. The food is still selling quite well. So are my handmade treats, which is fantastic because that's what we love. You know, that's the core of what we do. But yeah, look, online has definitely picked up, and put a bit of energy into it as well. And I think all small businesses, no matter what industry, you've got to try to do what you can to survive at the moment. And I think we all appreciate anyone who supports us even more than we used to even. So, yeah.
That's great. Just on that note, what have been some of the challenges for your business as the pet industry grows?
I think competition, but then also competition's always healthy. I think the ensuring as well that you're keeping up to date with the standards, you know, ensuring that you know, because it's an industry that's not always kept an eye on, I think it's something you have to be very aware of. There is a lot of handmakers and homemakers that don't do their research properly. And that takes time. So that's been quite critical, but it's also been, frustrating because you need to do a lot of research. And, it has been a tough... Yeah, there's not that much information out there, particularly for treats and long lives, as I said, because it's tough because you've got to learn through experimenting.
On that note, do you have any bugbears? Is there anything that you see that other producers do? Do you think, oh, no, don't include that in your food? Or
yeah, I think like the awareness of peanut butter, for instance. Like I only use peanut butter from the organic shop, which is literally a peanut butter machine. It's crushed up peanuts. I think there's ingredients that a lot of people don't take. They think that it can do it just in a little bit won't hurt them, a little bit won't hurt them, but there is certain ingredients that can actually be, you know, very crucial to dogs. So I think it's important that these people are educating themselves before they go down to the local market and try to sell their handmade goods, knowing that they haven't used, you know, a shopping centre peanut butter that could have xylitol in it, that could be very, you know, dangerous to dogs. It can cause heartbeat, you know, their heart to race and that kind of thing. So, that's my pet.
So is your advice to pet owners to check the ingredients of any handmade products just as you would at the supermarket?
Yeah, absolutely. I personally have a very, very strict dietary issue that I was born with. So I've been made to read labels my whole life. So it's also where a lot of my recipes come from. So no sugar. And I think once you actually, it's good to know where it's been made because there is importers in here that claim to be Australian businesses, but they're not actually Australian made business as well. So there can be, you know, there can be companies that try to push it a little bit. So, but not all small businesses can get the Australian made icon, I believe. So you've just got to be careful where, you know, find out where it's come from. Is it actually Australian made, and what's actually been put in it to give it a shelf life for 3 years versus a year or 6 months? So, yeah.
That's a really good point, because I think a few times I've had that thought in the back of my mind when I've seen prices that are so good and it says, you know, it's an Australian company, and you think, oh, that's good. But then I think, oh, maybe not. Maybe that bully stick isn't from Australia.
A lot of it's distributed by, it'll say Australia, it will say it, you know, multiple times on the packaging. But if you really look into it, it then comes down to repackaged and distributed by. So it is good to double check that. Even the food that I can't make, that I don't have a massive commercialized kitchen to do, I'm very, very selective of the suppliers that I do. And if I get it and I don't like the texture or the look of it, or if it's not crunchy enough or chewy enough for my liking, I toss it and I try another supplier before I let it go on my shelf. So
that's wonderful. On your website, you've got a part where you speak about other local businesses in your area. Why is it so important to connect like that?
I think that's just my ethics. I believe we should all support each other. It doesn't matter whether we're all in the industry. And if you can have a combined effort of an industry, it'll make that industry stronger in your local area. So also, like, I don't know how to rehab my dog, and I certainly don't know how to groom him either. So I think it's very important that, you know, you are bouncing off and giving, you know, each other support through networking, through collaborating, and through referrals as well. So, but yeah, overall, the more people that know about the industry, it makes that industry stronger, I believe. So. And we're all we're all just trying to support our families, and we all have one thing in common, and that's we all love our dogs. So, yeah.
Most definitely. How cool is that? What advice do you have for people that might want to start up a dog related business?
Do it. It's so rewarding. It's so fun. I think the best part of everything I do is still that I get cuddles every day, and that, you know, you see your regular visitors walk in, and you know, they get to know you, and they get to trust you as well. So it's not all easy. You know, you've got to do your research, and you've got to put your time in to make sure that you're industry experienced. But yeah, it is definitely fulfilling and rewarding if you go that way. So yeah.
So what does the future now hold for Charlie and your business?
Well, Charlie's just going to continue to be Charlie, mischievous. I still would like to raise awareness. It's not something that I have managed to push, I guess, but I would love to do some sort of awareness for safety at heights and safety around wild animals. So I already know just his story has saved a couple of dogs that they remember the story rang in their ears, and they put them back on the lead just in time. And they said, you know, a rabbit came out of nowhere and they knew it would have been gone. So already I believe his story has changed quite a few people and touched a lot of people's hearts. So that's one thing I definitely want to do. And while we're in isolation and quarantining, doing what we do at home, I've been doing some online courses myself to better educate myself in the industry. And I've got some very exciting plans someday, one day when we all get back on track. Yeah, we'd love to add a service to the retail part of things. So we'll stay tuned, and it might happen. So yeah,
that's fantastic. And where can people find you?
So I've got, on a normal time, usually I've got a pop-up shop at it's called The Collective in Gerringong. And I've also got a little pop-up shop at a gourmet deli down in Huskisson in New South Wales. But at the moment, mostly I'm doing all online and local delivery to my local community. So I do drop-offs on a regular basis. So it's www.theflyingdogandco.com.au.
Well, thank you, Cherie. That was brilliant to hear about the Flying Dog and Co. and Cheeky Charlie. And I wish you all the best.
Thanks so much.